right. You came back to church this week. I'm so pleased. We're in the midst of a series of sermons on what it matters whether or not we are members of a local church. Why would I join a church? We've talked about how the Christian life is not a solitary existence. And we can see in the New Testament how followers of Christ gather together with local groups of believers. Those fellowships they formed eventually became what you and I now call the institution of the church. The local church, according to Scripture, is a social, cultural, and supernatural reality. But I'm often asked, you know, in today's fast-paced, consumer-oriented culture, why would I want to become a member of the local church? Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free, for instance? Why should I commit to this church when I can be ministered to without being an official member? Why would we ask anybody to make a commitment? Well, I want you to be a member of our church if you're not already. And if you're not going to become a member here, I think you ought to find a church where you can make a commitment. And I want that to be a meaningful experience for you. And I've been trying to explain why through these series of sermons. What I've not done is come up with a logical list of reasons why you need to be a member of a local church. Here's point one, two, three. Instead, what we're doing is looking at some texts from the New Testament where I believe through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the New Testament authors tell us some wondrous things about the church. And I think if we're listening, we'll hear some compelling reasons why we need to commit to this cultural, social, and supernatural reality. So today we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at a text that has to do with the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is in the midst of talking to a church that was deeply divided and contentious. That had to have been the First Baptist Church of Corinth. I mean, they were fighting over all kinds of things and were deeply, deeply divided. And Paul is going to try to give them some reasons why they need to lift their heads above their own individual interests and preferences and see a much larger picture. And so he begins the first part of chapter 12 talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We're not going to look at that, but we're going to take up his line of thinking beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. All right. There's a lot there. There's too much for us to cover, okay? And so what we don't cover in here, if you still have questions, you find Jeff later and ask him. Okay. He'll explain it all to you. I want to make three points today that I think that really speak to why we want to make a commitment to a local body of believers. The first thing I want to tell you is that the Holy Spirit unites me with other believers in a local church. Here, I think Paul makes this very clear that this is not random and church membership is not consumer driven. It's spirit driven. And we must accept that. Christian faith is not to be defined merely in terms of my individual relationship with the Lord and what I'm seeking to get out of my church experience. Instead, the faith and being a part of the body of Christ is a very spiritual reality. There is a social and collective dynamic to it. There are several things we see here. First of all, through the work of the Spirit, Christians experience unity as a spiritual reality in the local church. I want to be clear. We experience unity as a spiritual reality. We are united by a spiritual reality. There may be precious little else that unites us together. Are you with me? Oh. But there's a spiritual reality that is stronger than any other bond that you and I might be able to create. And Paul says that just as the body has many limbs and organs, and despite their number and differences make up one body, so it is in Christ. Christ's body has many limbs, many organs, many systems that work together, and despite their number and diversity, they make up one body. Isn't that marvelous? Paul's point is that unity dominates diversity and makes that diversity genuinely meaningful and constructive. Thank goodness your body is not made up of your spleen. You're not just a spleen. Thank goodness. There's more to you than that. And the church is to be the same way. In verse 12, Paul introduces the body metaphor by reference to the Corinthians' baptism and their immersion in the Spirit. When they came to faith in Christ, they had this supernatural, this spiritual experience that changed them forever. That experience in coming to Christ also placed them within the body of Christ. They didn't have a choice. It just happened. And he's trying to get the Corinthians to come to terms with what a beautiful thing that happened to them. And so he explains that all, in verse 13, that all were baptized in one Spirit into one body and were given one Spirit to drink. The basis of unity is this common experience of the Holy Spirit. The one Spirit. The Holy Spirit creates unity. Christ is what we have in common. And I recognize There could be all kinds of reasons why you chose to show up here at First Baptist Church of Rockport. And I don't mind what those are. But if you are really a part of this church, what brought you here, what keeps you here, is the Spirit of God. And if you're looking for other connections, sooner or later, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to hurt others when you insist on your way. Are you with me? See, what has to unite us together is this spiritual bond that happened when God chose to place us within the body of Christ. We also see that the purpose of the Spirit's activity is to form believers into one body. So the Spirit's activity in creating the church negates all of the ethnic and sociological barricades that previously separated and alienated us when we were apart from Christ. There's all kinds of things in our culture and in our lives that might separate us from one another. In fact, I bet it would be impossible for me to get all of you together here in this room for one purpose other than the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're too different. We have too little in common apart from Christ. And Paul says, that's beautiful because Christ is enough to unite you all together by one Spirit in spite of all the other differences we have. Racial prejudice, social stereotypes are supposed to be put to death in the local church. What may polarize the world should not divide the local church. So here's the question I want to ask. Am I resisting the presence and activity of the Spirit in my life by not participating with local believers with whom I have been united? See, when I neglect the local church, you know whom I'm rebelling against? Not the pastor, the Holy Spirit of God. The second thing I want to point out from the text is that the Spirit deliberately and by design places believers in a unified and diverse local church so to best meet both individual and corporate needs. That's a mouthful, but there is mutuality in this understanding of the body of Christ. Each believer is placed in the church by design to function in great diversity to create this unified purpose, this unified body. So there's some things I want you to see. First of all, I think Paul is telling us that diversity is essential in the church according to God's design. Each part is needed for the body to function properly. Diversity is essential to our church. In chapter 12, verses 14 through 20, Paul illustrates the envy or the disdain that one member of the body might have for another. A foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. Or an ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Now look, no matter what ears or feet might say, if they could talk, they are part of the body. I mean, right? My ear may not like it, but it's stuck on pretty good. Thank goodness. Eyes, ears, hands, feet all have their assigned function in the body. Without them, the body is disabled. You see. And the implication is that there is no unimportant gift or role or person in the local church. We're all essential. And we might as well accept it because we are connected, like my ear is. It's not going anywhere, I hope. You know, we are an essential part of the body of Christ. We also see that because the unity is spiritual, not the result of any other determining factor, the members of the local church will be very different from one another, and this is for the good of the individual and the church. See, we didn't all agree here to come and to be a part of the church because there was a long list of things that we had to check off and we had to agree on every little thing. Thank goodness, because we all wouldn't be here. We're here instead because of the Holy Spirit that brought us together. And that is for our good. The diversity is by design for our good. And so in verse 17, Paul asks a disturbing question. What if the whole body were an eye? Yuck! I mean, there would be no smell. It couldn't hear. It wouldn't be able to eat. It would just roll around on the floor because there wouldn't be any feet. It's gross. It's the things nightmares are made of. A well-functioning body requires a multiplicity of members with a multiplicity of functions. And in verse 18, he tells us that God made the body with its intricately interconnected parts so that we could perform, so that the body could perform at its optimum in the world. So the diversity is not only necessary for the body to function, it is the very design and the will of God. We are to be diverse and unlike one another in a variety of ways to better be the body of Christ. Now let me tell you about some implications of that. I want to introduce you to my little friend. See, and we all have encountered dogs like this that remind us when we are getting too close or we're crossing some line we should not cross. Right? What Paul is saying is that the Holy Spirit is supposed to function the same way in my life. And there should be a check in my spirit so that I don't give in to my sinful instincts regarding my place in the local church. Now listen to me. My natural tendency is to do one of two things. One extreme might be that I withdraw from the church completely and become fairly isolated. The other extreme is to use my influence to manipulate or bully everyone to conform to my point of view. And I'm to avoid either extreme. They are both wrong. Let me give you an example. For instance, sometimes I take time in my Sunday school class to share my political views because I assume everybody agrees with me. Don't do that. Sometimes I am unaware of or unmoved by the needs of the young people or the old people, and I focus just on what I think I and my peers need at church. Don't do that. Sometimes I compare myself to others and think I have nothing to offer because I'm not as good as they are. Don't do that. Sometimes I don't participate. I try to stay anonymous, and I don't contribute my part to the work of the local church. Don't do that. You see, the Holy Spirit, who unites us together, should provide a check in my spirit when I am prone to go to either extreme. Don't do that, it's saying. Instead, I'm to create and foster and nurture the unity for the good of the whole. The question I need to ask is, how comfortable am I with the God-given diversity in my local church? How do I handle the way I and others are different? There's going to be differences. That's by design. The issue is, how am I handling those differences? I can see you're excited about that. Here's the third thing I want to tell you today. The unity in diversity created by God's Spirit combines with the mission given by God to produce the fellowship in the local church I need to go the distance in my walk with Christ. The body of Christ is to be characterized by genuine fellowship. It's that Greek word you've heard before, koinonia. And it's based on two different things. First of all, the fellowship in the local church appears to consist first of a commitment to the larger purposes that naturally come with being united in Christ. So, what unites us together in our fellowship? First of all, it's God's purposes. That unites us together. Earlier in the chapter, Paul said that the Spirit unites and gifts members of the church for the common good. Ephesians 4, he says that the church is to be this body that grows up or matures and becomes more like Christ and unified together. And so the implication is that being in Christ and being His body means we will be growing together in order to do or accomplish the work of Christ. We are His body. We are His presence in the world, acting as Christ would act in the world. We are not united by our common commitment to, I don't know, traditional worship, to our Sunday school or to schedules. We are united by Christ and His purposes. Second thing that about the fellowship is the fellowship in the local church consists, secondly, of the intimate love for and understanding of one another. So we are committed to Christ and His mission, and we are committed to one another. And so Paul describes how the purpose of ordering the body is that there might be no division, but that the members might have the same concern for one another. Now, all of us, at one point or another, have experienced how the whole body suffers, our physical bodies suffer, when one part of our body hurts. For instance, have you ever stubbed your toe in the middle of the night? Yes, you were on the floor weeping, curled up in a fetal position, saying things that I don't know how you learned those words. The whole body suffers as a result of the suffering of one small member. Or have you ever had appendicitis? Yes, just one small part of your body landed you in the hospital for days. See, and Paul is saying in the same way, we are so connected that we are intimate whether we like it or not. And what happens in one part of the church definitely impacts the rest of the church. The principle of love embodied in the cross mandates that I always seek honor for others. This is the opposite of the intense self-interest that comes naturally to me. And so Paul was telling the Corinthians to stop being so self-focused and instead exemplify the love of Christ revealed to us through the cross of Christ. Church members give and receive empathy and encouragement from one another and to one another. Suffering and rejoicing together are a sign of unity in which one truly seeks the advantage of the other. Now, I was doing a lot of thinking about this week, and I came across this book by the journalist Sebastian Younger called Tribe. He wrote it in 2016. Sebastian Younger is also the man who wrote A Perfect Storm about the fishing boats. He did a study of soldiers returning from Afghanistan and Iraq. And he noticed that while many of them suffered at least some form of post-traumatic stress disorder, many also desired to return to the front. And he wanted to know why. Why is it that these men and women who had suffered so greatly would willingly, almost desperately, volunteer to return to the front lines? Soldiers did experience trauma on the battlefield, but he found that they also experienced trauma when they came home. And that trauma when they came home made them want to go back to their platoons. There in their platoons, they experienced what Younger calls tribal closeness. And so his premise is that soldiers all but ignore differences of race, religion, and politics within their platoon. And upon return to America, they find a fractious society, splintered into various competing factions, often hostile to one another. And so he acknowledges that many of these men and women suffered PTSD and trauma on the battlefields. But what may be causing the depression and the high rate of suicide among veterans is that they feel alienated and lonely at home. What they feel is the absence of their band of brothers. And Younger notes that suicides and violent crime in New York City dropped dramatically after 9/11. And he just, as anecdotal evidence, says, how many times have you heard Americans say that they miss September 12th when there was so much unity and camaraderie in our country? And I thought a lot about that. You know, the first month after Hurricane Harvey were some of my favorite moments in church work. We were united by the purpose of representing Jesus Christ to the community and also united for being the hands and feet of Christ in the community and caring for one another and for others. It was a marvelous time for me personally, professionally. It didn't last long. See, I know I was possibly traumatized by the recovery effort, but what surprised me as time went on was the self-focus of those who insisted their chaotic lives be put back together in familiar and comfortable ways. Let me be honest with you. I was hurt personally by church members who began to insist that our church go back the way it was before the storm. Some even offered or gave me ultimatums that if we didn't do this, then there would be consequences for me personally. See, and I was struck by the fact that there was no way I could ever give everyone exactly what they wanted. And all of this was placed against the backdrop of doing everything I could to keep the church together so that we could help those in the community who had lost everything. My sermons and my messages at that time consisted of my plea to you to recognize that what makes the church is our commitment to Christ and our commitment to one another. And I asked you, if you lost all the things that drew you here in the first place, would your commitment to Christ and your commitment to one another be strong enough to keep you in the church? I'm going to tell you, there were times where I thought the wheels were about to come off completely. But guess what? 2 years on, here we are. And I'm so proud of you. Because you haven't liked everything, but you did hang in there with one another and with Christ. And because of that, I think what we have here is very special, because not every church has the same testimony that we do. God did something here very special. But it's very delicate. And one person with an intense self-focus can cause all kinds of problems in a church like ours. In the church, I am united together with a group of believers, and we are sent on an important mission. The one who called us to this mission, the one who sends us out, has told us that the mission is so critical that we have to die to ourselves. We have to lay down our self-focus and give our lives to something much larger and frankly more important than our individual lives. We will also have to care for one another along the way because people have a tendency to get wounded by life. And we're going to need each other. I want to invite you to be a part of that kind of group. There are all kinds of groups in our community that you might join. They all have many worthy and good purposes. But I believe none are like the local church because what we do impacts this world and the next. The question is, do I experience and contribute to the healthy and nurturing relationships in the local church that allow us to accomplish the mission given to us by God? Am I experiencing those relationships? Am I contributing to those relationships so that we can care for one another and accomplish our purposes? You know that old song, if you want to have a friend, you have to be one. It's common for me to have all kinds of conversations about why the church has let someone down. It's much rarer for me to have a conversation with someone who says, you know, I let my church down. And I repent. I want to invite you to make a commitment to your band of brothers and to live that out from one day to the next. All right. So it's time to bring this in for a landing. You made it. Good job. I want to invite you to do three things today, and then we'll be done. First of all, I invite you today to allow the Spirit to guide you to a local body of believers where you can be a part of the body of Christ. The Spirit has a mind for you to be somewhere. I want it to be here. If it's not here, find that place. Find it as soon as you can. Secondly, I invite you to recognize the diversity in the body of Christ and to take your own unique place to exercise your unique gifts and fill your unique role. Not everybody here is going to get to do what I do, but you get to do what only you can do. God designed it. He gifted you to do it. Take your place in the body of Christ. And finally, I invite you to make a commitment to forming and nurturing healthy relationships in the local church that will allow you to walk in Christ with a diverse group of people over a long period of time as together we accomplish God's purposes. If you're going to need a place where everybody thinks and believes exactly like you do, where they dress like you do, et cetera, et cetera, it's probably not First Baptist Church of Rockport. I don't know where it is, but it's not here, because the people who are members here are very different, and they are beautiful. We want you to be a part and take your unique place in this body of Christ. People join our church by making public professions of faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes people join our church by a transfer of letter from another Baptist church. And other people join our church by making statements that they are baptized believers, and we couldn't find their records even if we got the FBI to help us. And we want to make a way for them to be a part of our church as well. I want to invite you to join the church. You can do that by coming down front while we're having our time of commitment. If that scares you to death, the good news is that Jeff and I will be out in the foyer when the service is over. We'd be able to talk to you about church membership and maybe help you to know how to join the church. There may be other things that God has placed on your heart. In a moment, after I pray, while we're singing, you can come to the altar and pray. You can come down front and talk to me. I'd be happy to pray with you. And again, you can find me after the service. I'd love to talk to you about what God is doing in your life. How do you need to respond to the word of the Lord today? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your work in placing us in the beautiful body of Christ. Lord, we are not meant to be alone, and by design, you've put us together with a wide variety of people so that we can care for one another and accomplish your purposes in the world. Lord, I ask that you would protect us from the extremes of withdrawing or forcing everybody to conform to what we think and believe. Lord, protect us from the cultural and social realities that divide so many people in our country that here should fade into the background as we are drawn together by the power of the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that it would be everybody's testimony that they are so committed to you and so committed to their brothers and sisters in Christ that they are able to walk together with a diverse group of people over a long period of time, accomplishing your will on earth. And now, Lord, through the power of your Spirit, may your will be done in the lives of those gathered here. And we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.